All right, Proverbs chapter 11, please. And hold your place there and turn to the book of Obadiah. I hope that we can get that far tonight. Obadiah. After you find the book of Obadiah, go back to Proverbs 11. And in keeping with our series out of the book of Proverbs, I want us to consider the perils of pride. Pride is destructive. And it is a sin. And pride is a sin that gets the best of Christians. The reason why is that pride is the sin of our spirit. Now, it can produce actions from the flesh, but it is actually a sin of our spirit. Sins of the spirit can be undetected by the human eye, often not undetected by a discerning eye or a discerning mind. But pride can be identified because pride somehow works its way into our heart and gets seated in our heart. And when I say seated, it's S-E-A-T-E-D. It seats itself in our heart. And we have to be so careful. God condemns the sin of pride with stronger terms than he does the sins of the flesh. Very few things he calls an abomination. Pride is one of those things. And so you and I can fall into the sin of pride. Some of the strongest Christian leaders in the scriptures fell to the sin of pride. Some of the greatest leaders, some of the greatest kings fell to pride. And so it is something that we have to address from time to time. All of us are susceptible to it. None of us can write ourselves a pass and think that we can get by in our life without it. It happens to the best of Christians. Pride often is unseen, yet sometimes undetected by the person in their own heart. And it's confusing. One of the synonyms for pride in the Hebrew language is confusion. And it confuses the spirit of man, because the spirit of man knows it's not right. And yet sometimes we can't put our finger on it. We have blinders, or we see through rose-colored glasses and we can't pick up on it. Pride many times is seen in our so-called excellent opinions and loves self-majesties, so to speak. Pride feeds on that. We can coat it. We can sugarcoat it, and we can even coat it spiritually. But God sees through all of that facade, and he sees the heart. And when pride seeps into our heart, we are in serious, serious trouble. Pride is nothing more than swollen pomp. It's nothing more than arrogance. And it nauseates God. It is a sin that nauseates God. It's, an abomination, the Bible proclaims. Pride is manifest in our countenance. It's manifest in the choice of our words. Pride often is manifest in the decisions that we make, in our thinking process. And that's really what I want to deal with from the book of Obadiah, if we get that far tonight. I want to deal with how Obadiah, the prophet of God, pronounced a judgment on Edom. And here's why. An entire nation was punished by God severely, and it was the sin of pride. And here is the manifestation of their pride. God dealt with Jerusalem because of their sin, and Edom made light of it in their pride. And God says, you don't have that privilege because you're not God. You see, that's what pride does. Pride takes the place of God in our life, and we function on it. It's a horrible sin. Pride is easily passed down to a second generation. Children pick up on it. They see arrogancy. They become smart alecks. They rise against authority. And they pick up on it. And that's the result of it. Pride is a vice. It is an addiction. It takes that seed in our heart and causes us to believe that we can live without God. It causes us to make our own decisions without appealing to God in prayer or what would be His purpose or plan for our life. Pride has destroyed the strongest of leaders. You will meet them in heaven one day. Their pride got the best of them. Their nations felt the sting of their pride because God judged them. Oftentimes, families, they go through hard times because of pride and arrogance. And even churches can go through it. So we see throughout scriptures that pride is a very serious sin. Let me share with you a couple of things by way of introduction that may help us to get our mind around this matter of pride. First of all, pride is a sin rooted in our heart. Really, we could say it this way. Pride stems from our stupidity, our foolishness. It is the opposite of wise. When we get to some passages in Proverbs, you will see that the spiritual antidote for pride is wisdom. And that's what's absent when pride takes over in our mind. Let me give you some thoughts about this matter of pride being rooted and seated in our heart. Number one, pride is groundless. By that I mean it stands on sand. It has no foothold. There's no solid rock of truth in which it can rest itself. And so it's always on shifting sand. And that sand often shifts according to circumstances or according to manipulation. Because pride loves to manipulate. It loves to get its own responses. It loves to course its own way through and end up on the square it wants to end up on. Pride should be unnatural to the believer. It should be unnatural to us because we have nothing to be proud of. We're sinners, saved by God's grace. Yet it comes so naturally for us to allow this to root in our heart. And we can destroy relationships. People destroy their relationships with their in-laws, with their family. How sad that is. It's groundless. It has no firm foundation in which to base itself on. It's always shifting. Pride has to keep up with its lies. It's hard to do. After a while, you do not have the mind to keep up with it. You can't keep up with it. You don't know what you've said and who you said it to and when you said it. Not only is pride groundless, but I'd like to say secondly, by way of introduction, that pride is brainless. It absolutely has no thinking power whatsoever. By this I mean it's without the wisdom of God, void of God's wisdom. And this never profits us. The sin of the flesh has some profit for a season. Sin is pleasurable. Sins of the flesh will have a profit, even if it's short run. But when it comes to pride, man never profits from pride in any way, good or bad. Eventually, we feel the sting of it. We sell our life out so cheaply when we allow pride to rule our life. So it's groundless, it is brainless, and may I say thirdly, pride is madness. Simple as that. It's the best way that I could find to define it to us tonight, especially when it comes to the scriptures. It gives up rest and peace, tranquility. It's too busy, and we're having to fix everything. We're having to, through that manipulation, get it all cared for. We're trying too hard to impress others, and we seek to be approved by it. When we're not approved by it, we get angry at those who will not approve our pride. And so when I talk about pride being a madness, it's insanity to allow pride to rule in our heart. No wonder God hates it so. He despises it. He begs us to flee from it. We'll find out that Solomon, who learned about his own pride, who was very well equipped to be chosen by the Holy Spirit of God to write about pride, we'll find out what he said about it. Now, most of the verses in the book of Proverbs we are very familiar with when it comes to the matter of pride. But I want us to look at them. We begin in verse 11, or verse 2 of chapter 11, and notice the first thing that Solomon teaches us is that it leads to shame. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Now, these next several verses that we're going to look at, there is a common denominator that I want you to see in the Scriptures. And that is this matter of the word wise or the word wisdom. You remember in the introduction, I mentioned that it is the counterweight. It's the counterbalance of all this. It's the antidote. That if we're going to exercise wisdom, we'll stay away from the sin of pride. If we ask God for His wisdom about it, we stay away from it. If we do not, and we trust our pride, then when pride comes, it brings forth shame. And the word shame is a strong word. It's the word disgrace in our Bibles. It's the word dishonor, reproach. It's all that brings confusion. I mentioned that was one of the words that describes this matter of pride. Shame. It brings confusion. It never solves the issue. It never fixes the problem. And eventually, pride always brings God's judgment. God always reacts to our sin. And sins that is an abomination unto Him, He reacts to that. And often people are so far away from God. I'm talking about Christians. Like Hezekiah, great king, revival under his ministry. He got to the end of his ministry and in a braggadocious way revealed to the queen all of what he called, this is my kingdom, and these are my people, and these are my riches. Pride got the best of him. Now, he repented of his pride. He worked the works of repentance because God convicted the Christian leader of his sin of pride. And Hezekiah got right about it. And we're grateful for that. But he fell. He fell into a horrible pit of sin. And because of that, he brought condemnation, the condemnation of a holy God against him, his family, and his country. And when people, without the wisdom of God, trying to work out all the challenges in their life, fill themselves full of pride, no wonder the hand of God's judgment is upon some. Because he's trying to get you to see it's not worked your way so far. He's trying to get us to see it's not working out the way we planned it. And so he's trying to help us. I think God does a lot of reeling in, trying to ward off the sin of pride. I think he sees it coming in our life. And he does everything he possibly can do to keep the shame from coming. But eventually, disgrace worms its way into our family. Hurt, dishonor, reproach is brought on the name of Christ, brought on the name of the church. If God responds throughout Scripture, when you begin reading it from beginning to end, and you see nations who rise in their own pride, God judged them. Obadiah, one chapter, 21 verses of the judgment of God because they mocked God's people in their pride. And God identifies it in the book of Obadiah as the sin of pride, using that word itself. It's a tremendous responsibility for all of us as Christians to never think that we're above the sin of pride, that pride would never grip our hearts. When we are full of sarcasm, getting in the last word, determined to make things happen our way, when we are angry and mad and think we have reason to stand back on our heels and hurt others, All of that is identified in the Scriptures as nothing but pride. And what does it bring? It brings shame. What does the Bible teach us? But every one of the verses that identify pride that we're going to look at from the book of Proverbs tonight, every one of those verses have the little conjunction, but. There's an alternate. There is an antidote. Look at this verse. Look at verse 2 again. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly, with humility, Jesus was lowly. He was full of humility. But with the lowly, those who humble themselves, in due time God exalts them. Humility. It is a portrait of wisdom in our life. That, hey, it's not about leveling the ground. It's not about getting even. It's not about winning the game. It's not about that. It's about exercising God's wisdom. If we choose to allow pride to root itself in our heart and get seated in our heart, then we can expect shame to come. And it will hurt you. Shame always does. It will hurt your testimony. You'll have to get over it. It's another thing that your pride could swell up in, and you stumble over your own sin secondly because you're not willing to humble yourself about it and agree with God that what you did was wrong. It's called confession. So important for us to understand that. Pride leads to shame. But let me show you secondly that pride leads to contention. Contention is not like shame. Turn with me to chapter 13. And let me show you this one. Look at verse 10. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Only by pride, it's a key word, cometh contention. But, there's that conjunction again. Here is the opposite. Here's the answer. Here's the antidote. But with the well-advised is, you tell me, wisdom. You see, there's the word wisdom again. It's going to be in these verses. It's interesting. Contention. Contention is simply an overwhelming desire to always be in a quarrel. Contention is willing to put your nose where it doesn't belong, in the business of people that you work with, go to church with. And what happens? Contention is nothing more than getting in a debate, giving your mind about it, giving your view about it. It is the word translated in our King James Bible, strife. When a person's life is filled full of strife, you better believe somewhere along the line, pride has not been dealt with in that person's life. And when you're always in a fuss, when you're always trying to win the battle, be careful. It brings contention. But look at verse 3 of chapter 14, and thirdly, we'll see that it leads to hurt. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the, you tell me, wise shall preserve them. You see, the rod of pride. Anytime the word rod is used in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, it talks about something that is hurt. It brings hurt. And so when it talks about the rod of pride, it's talking about hurtful pride. Pride that brings hurt to others. It leads to hurt. That's where pride leads to. It leads to words that you cannot call back. You might ask for forgiveness, and you may even be granted forgiveness from the Lord and from the people that you spoke against. But they are words that are out there. And it leads to the rod of pride, leads to hurtful instances. It divides chief friends. We have to be so careful. Pride, it can hurt us and hurt others. It leads to also destruction. Look at chapter 16, verse 18. pride goeth before destruction. So it hurts. It brings contention. Pride brings shame. And now it brings destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. So here we are warned clearly by Solomon, a wise preacher, one of the wisest men that ever lived, led by the Holy Spirit of God to give us these nuggets that we can spade out in the book of Proverbs. And we better believe what they say. We better believe what these words are saying. If not, you can walk out of here and in your pride engage in a conversation with your boss tomorrow and get fired because of it. Because you're too arrogant, too proud to say you were wrong, you were hurtful. These practical, everyday situations that we face on our jobs, with our family, in our church, with our friends, these are real verses for proper relationships. It also leads to dishonor. May I say quickly in chapter 29, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So it leads to destruction, it leads to dishonor, it leads to hurt, it leads to contention, it leads to shame, it leads to confusion. I mean, after a while, we've examined enough Bible verses tonight in the front of this message that we can safely say that pride is a hideous, awful sin. And it captured Solomon. And it captured David. It captured some of the greatest Christian leaders, men who God spoke through to write the Bible and give us these verses. Whenever I prepare a sermon, when I get to a comfort level of wanting to know what others have said about pride, I usually seek out what others might say. I found some great thoughts about pride. I want to share a few of them with you. Once you reach the top, this author said, take care, because the only direction left for you is to go down. It's a pretty good thought, isn't it? That's what pride thinks of itself. It goes to the top. A proud man is always looking down on things and looking down on people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you cannot see anything above you or anyone above you, including God. A proud man is always looking down, going in his own direction, only to find that he never gets there. None are more unjust, one author said, in their judgments of others than those who have a high opinion of themselves. And I think this is one of the most devastating quotes that I read, and it's so true to the scriptures that we've just examined. Pride is the attitude whereby man declares his ability to live without the help of God. That's where pride leads. It leads us to believe that we just don't need God. But we do, don't we? If we can learn about the perils of pride from the Old Testament book of Proverbs, it will help us see a greater picture about how God always deals with pride. There's no better snapshot in the Bible of how God deals with pride than in the book of Obadiah. Now, you've got your ribbon there, so let's open our Bibles to Obadiah. Let me give you a few thoughts about him. He is one of 12 men with the name Obadiah in Scripture, but we know nothing about this author, this human author, except that his name means the servant of the Lord, and that he was. He was called on God to look Edom in the eye and pronounce judgment upon a nation because They mocked God's people in their pride. God gave this short 21 verses that we see here to reveal that Edom will be destroyed by God. And it was. Simply because they rejoiced over the misfortunes of Jerusalem. And God judged them for it. Now, the Edomites were descendants of Esau. Esau is Jacob's twin brother. You remember the history. As you read through your Bible, you read about Abraham marrying Sarah late in life. They had Isaac. They sent the servant in chapter 24 of the book of Genesis out for him to find a wife for him. And Rebekah came back with the servant. And they had twin boys, Jacob and Esau. What dysfunctional family that was. Read about it in Scripture. Esau sold his birthright. Jacob sold his blessing. Just pawned it all out. Because the family was in a constant feud. The Edomites, descendants of Esau, they never liked the descendants of Jacob, Israel, God's people. They were constantly not being their friend at all. They would never be an ally. They forgot what the Bible says in Genesis 2. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse he that curseth thee. They forgot all about that. When you read through the Pentateuch and you read through the historical books, you will see that the Edomites, they always made it hard for Israel. They were always getting even. And it took, now watch this. This is what I want you to catch tonight. It took years of that piling on top and piling on top and piling on top until finally God said, I'm done with you. I'm finished with you. Your arrogancy, I'm going to destroy you because of your pride. Because you have rejoiced in even my dealing with my own people. When you read the book of Numbers and get to chapter 20, they refused for Moses to pass through their land on the way to the promised land. It was an act of pride that was rooted all the way back years before that. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, they opposed King Saul. The reason they opposed him is because they were so upset because Saul vexed them day after day in battle. And in their pride and their arrogancy, they couldn't see it. They hated him with bitter hatred. In 1 Kings chapter 11, they fought against David and his son Solomon. And they were angered because in one battle, they went into Edom, David's men did, and David's men killed every male in Edom. Every male. They hated him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, they opposed Jehoshaphat. They rebelled against King Jehoram. All of this because of the sin of pride. Here's what I want to say in closing. How can we read through these verses in Proverbs when we examine the book of Obadiah and we see how God deals with Edom because of their pride and it becomes very obvious to us? What makes you and what makes me think that we can give ourselves a pass when we become angry and full of pride, when we are determined we're going to win? You might even be fighting for a right reason, but your pride is in the way. You may even win the skirmish, but you will not win the battle. Relationships, now listen, relationships are too precious. Relationships are too valuable to us. Relationships and what God gives us with our friends, with our church, with people that we labor with and work with. They are too precious for us in our arrogancy and in our pride, get jealous over what they have, who they are, where they work, and allow the pride of our heart to swell up and control our attitude toward them, how we speak to them, or whether or not we even speak with them. In our pride, we'll pass them by. In our pride, we'll not try to fix it. It's just not worth it. So you have to make a judgment call. Are you willing to die on that hill in your pride to destroy relationships? Now, I close with this. Look all around us in the world today. What is happening in America today, from the murder of our policemen to policemen who do not do it right, who are prejudiced themselves, that's sin and wrong. We had to tell you a missionary didn't do right. Preachers do not do right. Policemen do not do right. Politicians will not do right. All of us are susceptible to this. No one can write themselves an exemption. And you look at what's happening in our world today for the presidential election, and I want you to be able to identify pride. That's why I delivered this sermon. Why I want to deal with the nation that is going to go down because of their pride. I want to deal with it. It's important for us to understand that the media and the world about us may act that way, but God has called us out not to be like that. God expects us to take the higher road. God expects us to do the right thing. And if we can't even hold a friendship together, if we can't even hold a marriage together, if we can't even hold our church membership together, something's wrong. Pride is a horrible sin. And I want to blast a shot across the bow to all of our hearts that we can afford to allow pride to seat itself in our heart. I think pride is the greatest deterrent for Christians. And pride is sin. God calls it an abomination. He does not call the sin of immorality out more than he calls pride out in his word, using very strong terms. You see, it's easy for us to become judgmental and look at someone from the outside and judge them. It's easy for us to do that. You remember when I started the sermon, I said that pride often is undetected, even in our own heart. So it's easy for us to pronounce judgment. It's easy for us to not see it in our own life when it's right in front of us. And God warns us in the Bible that he always deals with the sin of pride. So you and I have to decide, are we going to allow pride to seat itself, or are we willing to say, dear God, please help me. I do not want the sin of pride to grip my heart and take me down. Behind every sin that man commits is the sin of pride, whether it be a sin of the spirit or a sin of the flesh. Every one of them. It's because pride seats itself in our hearts. So tonight, let's ask God, Lord, help me. Please keep me from the sin of pride. I have enough in my life going on. I do not need to add any more agony and pressure in my life. Help me identify it in my own life. Confess it to you as sin and make a heart change when it comes to pride. Would you stand with me, please?